skies for amber waves of grace, for purple mountains majesty above the crusade.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers, and of course we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY, that's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295, but please hold your calls for the time being because we have Dean Gotcher on the line, and Dean is going to be putting on a major seminar probably in your area before long, but he's going to be putting one on across the hills from where we live a little later this week. Dean, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Stan.
Why don't you tell us where your talk is going to be and over there? It's going to be over the hill?
Right. We're going to be in Milpitas. It's going to be at the Calvary Chapel in Milpitas coming up this Friday and Saturday. Friday we're going to start at 6:30 in the evening and go to 9:30. I'll be sharing on the dialectic of praxis, or this process that I call diaprax. And then Saturday, I'm going to be doing a short intro, 9 in the morning, and then we're going to go through 5 in the evening. We're going to have several speakers, Dr. Robert Klink on speaking on this process and what it's done in the church, Pastor John Coleman speaking on this what's happened to the African-American church, and Steve Goss is going to be speaking on the workplace and this dialectic process, TQM.
All right, fine. Well, now why don't you explain to our listeners out across America what this process is, you know, because I think the average individual doesn't understand how this program has been introduced into business, how it's been introduced into schools, how it's being introduced into certainly into our churches, and how it is aimed at controlling our reality, controlling our response, and ultimately controlling society.
Well, people know something's wrong, but not what it is. And the Bible tells us we're to beware of the scheme of the enemy, the scheme of Satan, and his scheme is subtle. And so these programs, these presentations are to explain that scheme. And it is known academically as dialectic. And they today refer to these as paradigms or ways of thinking. God says, my ways are not your ways. And so there is a way of thinking that God thinks and that he wants us to think like, and there is a way that he does not think, but unfortunately we can think that way. And so we've done what they call a paradigm shift. We've shifted from a way of thinking that is common to the way God thinks, and that is that there is right and that there is wrong, and that would be the old world, as some would say, the traditional society of right and wrong, black and white, that there is right, there is wrong. But we have moved, we've shifted, we've changed the way we think to gray. In other words, that's the verbiage, I'm okay, you're okay, tolerance, let's just get along, you know. And so we've done this shift, and so this program is to explain how this process has come into our life and how we can respond to it, respond to it.
All right, fine. And I think it's so vitally important that people are aware that there is an organized, orchestrated plan all across America, in our churches, certainly in our schools, in our businesses, in society, in every way, to do away with this concept of absolute truth. And let's just figure out some way we can all sort of get along together. And, you know, if there is no absolute truth, then how can you say that you're right about really much of anything? We're going to be back here in a minute. You'll find a fascinating discussion this afternoon with Dean Gotcher, certainly one of my favorite guests, and I hope yours as well. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. And our special guest this afternoon is Dean Kotzer, and Dean is going to be speaking in Milpitas. I guess it will be, what, Friday evening and then all day Saturday, Dean?
Right. I'll be one of the speakers on Saturday, but I'll be speaking Friday evening.
All right. Now, how can people find out where that meeting is and, of course, make arrangements to come?
Okay. Now, they can call a number in that area, 408-262-4900. That's the church's number. And the address...
Give that telephone number one more time.
Okay. 408-262-4900. And the address, Calvary Chapel, Milpitas, it's 1754 Horet Court, H-O-U-R-E-T, Court, of course, in Milpitas. And that number, again, is 408-262-4900.
And I will promise you that if you go over there and hear Dean, either Friday evening or all day Saturday when they're going to be bringing in the other speakers, you'll find it'll be a fascinating experience because you'll begin to understand what is happening. If you've ever had the feeling that something's seriously wrong in society but you can't quite put your finger on it, now you'll get your finger on it. I know you have it many times with you, a police officer who works for a police force in Southern California, telling how these concepts have been brought in even to the police force, haven't they?
Right. It's a procedure, a scheme that's been implemented in all institutions. And so there are 10 training laboratories they call National Training Labs that, a book published, Human Relations in Curriculum Change in 1950, lays out how the meeting should be held to change the way people think. And that process, that procedure, is now implemented in literally every institution. So whether it's in government, education, workplace, or even in a church, you come in and you start to present a position, and people are glad you showed up and willing to participate. But then after a while, you find that if you persist in your position, they become very irritated with you. And then if there's to be a policy made, you eventually find that you're being marginalized, and eventually you'll be neutralized, and you'll leave. You'll leave in frustration and with the sense that something's wrong with you, but not knowing that this is a procedure that's being implemented in institutions all across our nation and around the world.
And this is an organized, orchestrated effort. Yeah. And the people who are doing this know exactly what they're doing. They learned how to play games with your mind, how to shift your sense of values. And, of course, the whole idea is to change how you look at the world and how you look at God. We'll be right back here with Dean. Okay, this is Dr. Stan back here, and of course we're talking with Dean Kotzer this afternoon, and Dean has pointed out that this whole idea of training takes place all across America. A great deal of money has been put into this, a great deal of thought has been put into this. How do we change people's world view? And of course, if they won't change, if they refuse to hold on to their old views of absolutes and God, and God is tradition, not this new God, this new message of the scriptures with 15 different versions and translations, so that nobody really knows what God's word is, because after all, if the Bible's God's word but there are 15 different translations, then none of them are really quite right, and so maybe you shouldn't hold on to these outmoded ideas. But these things are not happening by accident. Dean was saying that there are 10 laboratories across America where people are trained in these techniques. Is that right?
Right. And it's gone beyond them. It's become the communication method. We're all trained in communication. And the communication, and by the way, this is all tied to language. So once you understand the language shift, the communication change that we've taken place, you'll be able to sit in a room and know what's happening in that room, what's happening to your friends, and what might be even happening to you, as the facilitator is using language and grammar to restructure the way you think and draw you into that and get you to willingly participate in your own change.
But, of course, isn't the facilitator, he's very, very clever. He knows how to manipulate your thoughts. He sometimes is very charming and very funny, and you really sort of like him, don't you?
Right, and the key is the facilitator is always trained to be likable, approachable, and we have to realize that this is all built on relationship, and if you look at the parable of soils, it's all relationship. The good soil is pure relationship with God, it really received the word. The hard soil is no relationship with God. It is just hard-hearted. The word cannot penetrate. And then there's those who are in the word, and this is what we're having today in the church. They're in the word, to a point. They hear, they grow, and then the blessings that come from God, then the cares of the world consume them. And so they eventually die. They're focusing on. So the relationship is with the tangible things. And then the rocky soil is relationship with people. And so you never really grow deep in the Word of God. As you know, you have 15 so-called translations in a room, you're never going to go deep in the Word of God, because the moment you say, well, wait a minute, this is what the Word means, and that one over there is not right, this one is right, and that's offensive language. And the key word in those parables on the rocky soil is the Word of God becomes an offense. In other words, we're not going to go deep in the Word of God because that will offend the diversity in the room, and so you'll never go deep in the Word of God.
And so we're going to just sort of modify the Word of God. We're not going to get into the Word of God. We're going to do things that make us feel better about ourselves. We're going to learn how to get along with our husbands and get along with our boss and get along with our wife and get along with the people around us. And of course, everything is modifying your behavior. But, of course, the real means by which we get along with people is because we believe in the Word of God, and this is manifested in our actions. But since there is really no Word of God, because we got 15 different translations, we'll talk about other things, and we'll talk and we'll talk and we'll talk, but we'll never get around to the really important issues.
The Bible says, go ye therefore and teach, and teach and teach. Now we're going to go, therefore, and take polls and surveys and dialogue and find out how people feel and think. And that's the language change that takes place. When you have 15 translations or you have a facilitator in the room, his agenda is to change your language. Because human relationship language, the language of the cosmos, they call this theory language, is I think, or what do you think? And in other words, everything is relative. When you're in a theory in a laboratory, it's relative. You really don't know for sure. As long as you say, I think 2 plus 2 is 4, I just relativized it. So if in the room I can get 15 translations, I move people from saying traditional, well, this is right and that is not right, which offends. It's not human relationship, it is truth. And so truth divides. Jesus said, I came not to bring peace but a sword, I'm going to divide. And what's the division? Truth. It's not that God wants to divide. It's not that God hates relationship, it's that truth must be in the relationship, where two or three are gathered in my name. That's truth. That's a position, and the relationship is built on the authority of God's word, not our interpretation of the word of God. So, if I can get everybody in the room to focus on the interpretation, what they think and how they feel about the verse, I have shifted them away from the authority of God's word to the authority of human relationship. It is so subtle. We simply walk in and we just, unless you discern something's wrong, you'll just follow right into it. Because if I can move the language from a biblical language, a godly language of is and not, you know, God created the garden, he said, he knew it was his garden because he said, this is my garden and it's not yours. Why? Because he's put a thou shalt not. You can't eat of that tree. And so in the Word of God, you find even Jesus presenting to the woman caught in adultery, you know, neither do I condemn thee. But then he said, go and sin no more. In other words, the is and the thou shalt not. Traditional biblical language from Genesis to Revelation, there it is. But now we're in rooms and facilitators ask you how you feel. And so you're going to go, well, ought to be and seems to be, should be. And we move into human relationship language. And if I can get the room as a facilitator in a church, a so-called minister, get the room to go ought to be, should be, might be, could be, relationship language, I will then instantly turn the group against the patriarchic authority of God's word, person that comes in the room and says, is and thou shalt not. And then the group, once that happens, the group will move to the theory language, relative language, will I think, or it seems to me. The Bible says there's a way that seems to be right unto man, but the end thereof is the pathway of death. And so we have done a paradigm shift. This is the structure that they call the dialectic structure. I call diaprax. We're practicing the theory. We're practicing theory language. We're not praxising, as the Greek is praxis, the scriptures, the acts of the apostles, praxis apostles. What was a practice? The authority of God's word.
But Dean, now who's putting up the money for all of this? And what is their ultimate goal? I mean, we're talking about somebody spent millions or hundreds of millions of dollars promoting these think tanks, putting this whole program together, disseminating it across America. What's the purpose? What's the goal?
Well, it's, the bottom line is spiritual and it's money. Both of them, the root of all evil is money. Love of money, not money, the love of money. And in the meetings, I explain where this goes to the garden. And you can look at organizations, you can look at the UN, you can look at the Club of Rome, you can look at, the training laboratories, but it's greater than them. It's a procedure that you find Satan presenting to Eve, because he came in and he had to get rid of the thou shalt not. So he used a facilitating technique called neurolinguistics. That's an embedded statement in a question. And what it does is it draws your resentment towards somebody telling you you can't do something, whether it's a parent or God or somebody else. And so God, definitely in the garden, had told Adam and Eve, you can't do. And then it's interesting that Eve's response in the garden was an interpretation. This is why in church growth you're going to get all those interpretations. Because you cannot meditate on an interpretation for truth. You meditate on a translation, literal. You meditate on the text. And so, Adam had the text. God gave Adam the literal statement. Eve goes, well, we can eat a lot of trees, but we can't eat the tree in the middle of the garden. That's a paraphrase. That's her interpretation. Because then she could share her feelings, nor touch it. And so she shared that transitional language, that rebellious language, well, I ought to be able to touch it. Which tells me that she wasn't meditating on the Word of God. She was looking at the tree, meditating on something else in the room, someone else, some other thing that she was told she could not. And so the role of the facilitator, whether in counseling today, government, education, workplace, church, doesn't matter where you go, today the role of the facilitator is to get everybody to share their autonomy. That's what Satan did with Eve. I ought to be able to attach it. And to also successfully do that, you have to, in the dialectic, they call it negation of negation. You've got to get the person to drop the thou shalt not. And, of course, Eve says, well, lest you die. And then Satan says, well, you won't die. In other words, we can talk about anything in here. Just get it out. Get out how you feel. Get out what you think. And once that happens, then she moves to the dialectic level of thinking. She says it's good for food. But that's analysis. If you're in science, you do analysis. I think this is going to work. I think this is good. I think that's bad. And, when God created the world, he said it is good. He did an evaluation. It is good. But see, God is perfect. God is holy and righteous and pure. But see, with man, we're not God. God said, I am God and you are not. But when Adam and Eve, and when we begin to do this process, we make the assumption that we're capable of deciding what is good and what is evil. That's the right of God to evaluate that's good and that's evil. And that's what Eve did. And that's the essence of what's happening in our society today, is that we're now deciding what's good and what is not good, built on human relationship. Well, you just came in the room and you said, thou shalt not. You hurt everybody else's feelings. That's bad. And so we're not focusing on the truth of the Word of God and speaking it in love. We have to speak it in love. But we're focusing on the person who's sharing the word and the way they share it, whether it offends the other person. And there we have the word of God is now an offense. And so you have to convince the person not to share the literal text. Eve didn't share the literal text. She shared her interpretation, which allowed her then to participate in something that God said she couldn't do. And then she had to justify it. Good for food. Was it good for food? No, it was death. Pleasing to the eyes. Was it pleasing later on? No, a corpse, something dying or dead is not pleasant to look upon. And then to make one wise, was this wisdom? The Bible says, professing to be wise, they became fools. She did the dialectic process, and see, it's all feelings. It seemed to be good, but it wasn't good. It seemed to be pleasing the eyes, but it wasn't really pleasant to look at eventually. We need to, folks, be aware of the subtlety of Satan, utilizing this process in our life as a Christian, because it will destroy your faith. And that's what's unfortunately happening in the churches today.
And of course, it was really very, very clever the way they came in and they said, look, we really want to get away from those older versions of the Bible because we want a more modern translation. It's easier to read. And then little bit, they begin changing it from, of course, the King James or the Calvin Bible, right up to the Message, which, of course, has changed totally the meaning of this Holy Scriptures. And they know exactly what they're doing, But they don't want the average individual to know that Christianity truly is under attack today. A
Have you ever wondered what really happened in Oklahoma City? Well, a very important video is the cover-up in Oklahoma City. It really consists of film clips that were actually taken from video footage shot during the first 2 or 3 days after the bombing. And you'll actually hear the commentators in Oklahoma City talking about the second bomb, the third bomb that had been disarmed. Now, if they were actually disarming bombs there, why didn't we hear that throughout the rest of the country? You'll actually hear an interview with one of the gentlemen who was in the Murrah building at the time that the bomb went off, and he had time then to jump underneath his desk before the glass blowing from outside. Obviously, there were two bombs, one inside, one outside. Call 1-800-5-HIV-1. It is vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish.
This is health journalist Bill Sardi. In the 1970s, there was a group of Italian immigrants in the small town of Rosetto, Pennsylvania, who drew worldwide attention for their unusual cardiovascular health, despite their pasta diets. I recently uncovered the fact that their unusual health was attributed to the precious red wine which they imported from Italy. Today we know this as the French paradox, the fact that the French exhibit greater cardiovascular health despite their fatty diet because of the red wine they drink. Wouldn't it be great to enjoy the health benefits of red wine without the calories, alcohol, and sulfite preservatives? Well, now you can with Longevinex, the world's first stabilized red wine molecules, preserved in an airtight capsule just like in a sealed bottle of red wine, equivalent to 5 glasses of the best red wine. Call 866-405-4000 to order Longevinex for healthy aging without the calories and alcohol. 866-405-4000.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Thierry. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Hi, this is Joyce Riley, and most of you now know why so many people agree that Miracle 2 soap really is a miracle. Miracle 2 products are now being used by farmers and ranchers to increase their yield. Mechanics and machinists use it in their shops. Chiropractors and physicians are using Miracle 2, and the uses are simply too numerous to mention. Dr. Stan and the folks at Radio Liberty knew right away that the listeners would benefit tremendously by using Miracle 2 products. You can enjoy the benefits of Miracle 2 and help Radio Liberty continue to broadcast Dr. Stan's message by calling 800-544-8927 to order your Miracle 2 today. After you've tried Miracle 2 around the house, you'll probably do just what so many others have done: get rid of all those toxic cleaners and chemicals under your sink. Call Radio Liberty and order your Miracle 2 today. 800-544-8927. 800-544-8927. Dr. Stan Monteith and so many listeners know that Miracle 2 soap isn't just soap. It's a miracle.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and
we just, of course, want you to understand that there is an organized effort across America to change our society. Now, a lot of these ideas came in with a man named Peter Drucker, and he moved into the corporate world, and he changed the corporations. He changed the way that the businesses are done. And, of course, you go to the meetings, and you go to the meetings day after day, and they begin to change your whole attitude and outlook. And then they moved into the schools, and they did a great job in the schools, and they changed the attitude of the teachers, who then were able to change the attitude of the students, and of course take them away from these ideas of absolute beliefs. And we see, of course, what happened at Abu Ghraib prison. One of the generals said, "Why, you know, there seemed to be a moral breakdown here." Of course it was a moral breakdown. We took any sense of right and wrong out of our schools. What do you expect a generation or two generations after the Supreme Court took God and right and wrong out of our schools and replaced it with moral relativism? And we see that in every aspect of our society. And in fact, I'm surprised we don't see more in the way of crime and violence and things going on. But then, of course, they begin moving into the church because that was the ultimate goal. The destruction of Christian America and its background in both the Catholic and Protestant churches. And they brought these same techniques into both great branches of Christendom, and they're doing a great job of changing the attitude of the average Christian from a strict belief in the Word of God to, well, we want to learn how to get along in society. We all want to get along together. We saw the Rodney King gospel. I think that would be the best explanation. Would that be a fair explanation of it?
Yeah, well, let's just all get along, you know, and you're okay and I'm okay, and your opinion is just as viable as mine. And this is where we get in trouble, is because we're not going to the text. Now, Luther understood that he realized the error in the church was that it's in the text. And we really don't want to go to the text. That's why we have the Bible in our hand, because it's in the text. The text, the letter, killeth. And see, to really come to the Lord, you must die. You know, Jesus said, deny yourself, which carries, by the way, all the impulses, all the desire to relate, all the heart of man, which, by the way, the Bible says, the heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Out of the heart of men come all the evils. And so when we come to the Word of God, to the text, what it says is our heart is not good. And it doesn't matter how good an environment you might create. God had the best environment there was for Adam and Eve, for mankind, and yet it didn't save man from his heart, the desire to relate, which Eve, by the way, her heart was to the tree. To something that she was told she couldn't do. She had an impulse, as you would, if you studied Sigmund Freud, there's this mimesis, this impulse to counter what you've been told you are not to do. And of course, to the social engineers, that's the real you. That's the driving force. That's the force for change.
And it really isn't this a lot about social engineering and how they're going to change the very heart of the individual?
And so the key, though, is whether it's church or in the engineering world, engineers are frustrated because they come in with the text. They come in with 2 + 2 = 4. As a Christian, you come in and say, the Word of God says, Jesus in the temptation said, it is written. He went to the text. But if I can convince you that you need to go to an interpretation, go down to the Christian bookstore and pull off somebody's opinion and get you to meditate on the opinion. When Eve responded, she didn't give the text that God gave Adam, she gave her opinion. And so what we find today, and like one of our speakers, Steve Goss, he has to live in a world today of TQM where here he comes in knowing the text, the facts, but he has to put up in the room with the team, the consensus process of those who have an opinion, and the opinions are just as viable as the text. And it's frustrating because, you know, you can say to somebody, you know, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. You know, 2 + 2 = 4 and cannot be 5. And all of a sudden you find yourself being labeled negative and divisive and hateful and intolerant and prejudiced, maladjusted, lower thinker, unadaptable to change it. You're the one who needs counseling. And if you don't, you know something's wrong, you know, you're very frustrated, but if you don't understand the procedure, this is the very same procedure Satan did to Eve, that is now in academia, in government, and like I said, even in the church, and what you're finding in church growth. If you read Maslow on management, a book back in the 90s.
Now, for our listeners, Maslow, of course, was one of the leading psychiatrists. He and Carl Rogers were two of the major advocates of being change agents. Go ahead.
And if you read his work first and study it, and then you look at church growth material, you realize you're being had. You're being moved over into a paradigm that will move you into the compromising of truth for the sake of maintaining relationship with diversity out there. That God says, thou shalt not. You will say, well, no, you know, I think I can. And in essence, you have become God. And, of course, the deception is that we can do the evaluation. We can do the analysis.
I mean, we're smart enough. You know, we ought to be able to at least discuss these issues so we can approach them intelligently. And pretty soon we find identifying ourselves with a group. After all, don't rock the boat. Go along with your friends. If you've got 7 friends in the church, you're going to stay there. They've got this whole thing worked out. They know how to control you. Be right back.
website, and one of the tapes is an interview with a Dr. Dinigan who heard back in 1969 actually a talk given by Dr. Day, who would later become the president of Planned Parenthood. And Dr. Day laid out the whole plan for America. The fact there are too many people, the fact that we're going to have to create new diseases, the fact that we're going to have to conceal some of the very obvious treatments for cancer because people are going to have to die of something. They might as well die of cancer. An incredible interview and a series of other interviews that will go into the background of what is happening in America, why new diseases are cropping up all the time. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR for copies of our four-tape set, Genocide. It's vitally important that you help us to get this message out across America, because without knowledge, my people perish. America, our values, our future are under attack today.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and a few weeks ago, Kevin DeMeritt of Lear Financial contacted us and asked if he could sponsor some of our programs. Well, I looked into the background of the company. They have an excellent reputation, so I think it's a good time to think very seriously about investing in precious metals. Why? Because we have inflation, we have a progressively devalued dollar, and we've lost almost 30-40% of our value of our currency, and we know that people like Warren Buffett are investing overseas. They're not investing in American currencies. Why not give the people at Lear Financial a call at 1-888-302-7111, that's 1-888-302-7111, and ask for their free audio seminar. Again, the number 1-888-302-7111. I think this is an excellent time to consider protecting your assets.
Leading edge dentists know the profound effect dental materials and procedures have on the health of the entire body. If you've been searching for a holistic trained dentist who can safely treat you, look no further. Dr. David Biles has been a leader in the Santa Cruz dental community for nearly 20 years. He built a solid reputation providing exceptionally high-quality cosmetic and restorative dental care long before learning the very real hazards of common dental practices. Now, as a faculty member of the Institute of Natural Dentistry, Dr. Biles has begun lecturing nationally to other dentists on alternative and complementary dental care. On request, Dr. Biles will safely remove toxic dental materials from your mouth while substituting them with safe, non-allergenic restorations. Call Dr. Biles today and take the next step to improve your health. With sedation and nitrous oxide available, Dr. Biles can help even the most anxious patients. Call 423-0121 and schedule a visit now. That's 423-0121.
And we'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and our guest this afternoon is Dean Gotzer. And, of course, you have to understand that there is a plan, and you can read it. You can go into something like Morals and Dogma, which is, of course, written by Albert Pike, and he will tell you that in the Garden of Eden, why we had this God, that he was a killjoy. He wanted to tell people, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not lie. And that is not the sort of God you want. You want a God that will give you true freedom. And that is why, of course, they worship Lucifer. And they worship Lucifer because there are no rules, there are no regulations. And, of course, if we can once get people away from the Word of God, then, of course, we can teach them, well, there's always a justification for doing everything you want to. Well, your wife isn't very good, your husband isn't caring. Maybe we ought to just split up and go on from here. I know I've had people come to me and told me that they went to the church for counseling, and the minister said, well, you ought to divorce that guy. He's just no good at all. And rather than, of course, trying to keep the family together, why there's been every effort to break the family apart. And you say, why would they do that? Well, we have some very unchristian influence, tragically, in the Christian church today. But what better way to destroy Christianity than, of course, to undermine the basic teachings of the church? So pick up the story from there, Dean.
In fact, that's an interesting point, because the dialectic in a national level is fascism. And that was which led to genocide, the getting rid of a race. But this is global, and it is patricide. It is getting rid of the father figure. And the patriarchic side of language, which God, by the way, spoke to Adam, and Adam was to Eve, was is and not. There was, this is my garden, and it's not your garden. This is my property, and not your property. This is my child, and it's not your child. Which is the language of sovereignty, of right, this is right and that is not, right and wrong. And the whole that language, what Satan, see, in his counseling, in his facilitation, his whole agenda was to move Eve, not Adam. He didn't go to Adam. Adam advocated. He went to Eve, the one who has relationship, the matriarch, and pulled her into participation where she would now want to relate with what she was told not to relate with. And the only way you can do that, by the way, is to go into an experiment. And the language of experimentation is, I think, or it seems to me. What do you think? 2 + 2 = 4. I think 2 + 2 = 4. I just relativized it. And so by simply moving her through the transition language of ought to be, get her feelings out, and then eventually get her into I think. That's the language of abortion. You know, when is it a human? Well, we really don't know, but we think, and then we set law. We practice to the theory rather than to the facts. That's euthanasia. And so our whole society has learned, has done a paradigm shift, has shifted the way we communicate from is and not a patriarch accountability to a higher authority language through the, by delivering us, the facilitators delivering us into our autobies, getting our resentments towards authority out, and then we justify it by going into the theory language, and then we end up saying, you know, what they understand, well, we're good, you know, because the moment somebody says, well, you can't do something, and we go, well, I ought to be able to, the ought to be cares with it, well, I'm good. My position is right. The things I'm thinking about in the field, they're right and you're wrong. And so all of a sudden we find Eve challenging God in her mind, and the end result was the deception and the delusion and the illusion that, well, I'm okay. I can do what I want to do. And not having a sense that you're in rebellion against God, because she, in a sense, had this concept she was going to go into partnership with God. We cannot go into partnership with God. God said, I will have no other gods before me. He says to us, I am God and you are not. And so what's happened within the church today is we've learned how to go into partnership with God. We cannot. We can only go into partnership with Satan when we take what God says and we start saying, well, I think and I feel. And we have become, by the way, they call the facilitator a heresiarch. So if your minister is saying, well, I've come today and I want to facilitate, the purpose of facilitation is to get something to change from its original position and to make it easy for change. Karl Marx said, the philosophers have all interpreted the world in many different ways. In other words, we come into the room with our many different interpretations, how we feel, what we think. He said the objective, however, is to change. That's the role of a heresiarch, a facilitator. But see, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is permanent. It is set. And we need to go to the text and accept it for what it is. And you find today, when you try to do that, and when you make that stand, that you then are the one who is going to need counseling, and somebody's going to finally try to get you to say, well, you know, I read that verse, but, you know, it really hurts, and it does offend others, and maybe we ought to be able to work this out and get you then to do what Satan did to Eve, to start to justify the changing of God's word for the sake of relationship, rather than going into the Word of God and letting it change you. See, we've learned how to go into the Word of God and change it for the sake of human relationship. The very essence of Karl Marx. And see, tragically, we as a society have bought into this, and all these agencies, institutions that came to the United States, there was Kurt Lewin from Berlin, the father of group dynamics, went to Iowa City, died in 47, but he had already worked this process out in application. There was J.L. Moreno, the father of role-playing. He was another Marxist. There were the Frankfurt School, 21 Marxists in Frankfurt, Germany. Most came to the United States, went directly into our universities, called critical theory, in other words, question authority. And how do you question authority? Instead of just being outright get rid of the authority, the traditional Marxists did that, these guys said, no, why don't we get the children and the parents in the room and get them all to move and share their ought-to-be's, and then they will be able to do the thinking. Well, I think this, and I think that, and I feel this, and get rid of the parents, thou shalt not. You notice that Adam and Eve tried to dialogue with God, and God goes, you know what? I'm not going to dialogue with you. You know, this is my garden, it's not yours. You know, there's the door. And he booted them out. And then he said, he put up the first no trespassing sign. He said, you know, and you're not coming back because you've got an attitude problem. You have the language. You think you're God. You think you can evaluate. And look at the church today. If your church is taking polls and surveys, that's an active evaluation. You're playing the act of God. Instead of the pastors turning, the shepherds turning to the master shepherd for direction, they're turning to the sheep for direction. Folks, that's foolishness. They're turning and evaluating and numbering and counting and doing everything that God finds offense with.
And now, don't you think then that the church should try to be popular in the community?
If the church is whole agenda, if the minister is concerned about how people feel and think, and that's popularity, you cannot serve God if you're concerned about how people feel or think about you. You cannot serve God if the new Bible says, go ye therefore, take polls and surveys. The Word of God says, go ye therefore and teach. You teach the truth. And in fact, Paul corrects this when he gives us a list in the scriptures of the laws of God. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. He gives us these laws, and then he says, if there is any other command, it is summed up in this phrase, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you realize that when we hear that phrase, you should love your neighbor as yourself, that carries the very law of God, which says, thou shalt not. And you go into the church today, and you start bringing into the law of God, thou shalt not, you're going to have the group turning against you.
And in fact, this is really specifically designed to divide, and of course, anybody who doesn't want to go along will be thrown out of the church. And this is really, it all has to do with manipulation and management. It has nothing to do with God, has nothing to do with the Bible, has nothing to do with the love of Christianity. It is a management technique for control. It works very well in corporations. It works very well in education. And it works very well in the church if you're going to turn your back on the scriptures and get into a management technique. But isn't this really what it's all about? Management, manipulation, and control?
And you said the right word, manipulation, because God persuades with word, with the truth. You manipulate with feelings. The moment, if I came into a room, whether in the workplace total quality management or in the Navy total quality leadership or the police there and cops program or the doctors, HMOs, same procedure. And I come into the room and I get you to share, well, it ought to be. I have gotten you to share your feelings. I can now manipulate you. Not until I can move you away from facts, the truth, which is always coming from a higher authority. In traditional education, if you were to write a thesis statement, you had to support it with somebody else's truth, from facts. You have to go to the books, because if you came in and said, well, I feel and I think, I'm going to give you a bad grade. It doesn't matter what you feel or think. I want to have you to support your thesis from, I'd send you back to the textbooks. I'd send you back to the chemistry book. We're to go back. Where's our thesis? We go back to the Word of God. It is the defining factor. It is the guiding. It is the direction. Instead of an opinion, we go to the text. We study the text. And then, of course, the text is going to kill you. And the interpretation, by the way, is found in Jesus. The resurrection is in Christ. And then the Holy Spirit works through the text. Isn't this ingenious that if I can talk you out of the literal text, studying the text itself and getting into an opinion, that the Holy Spirit works through the text? Yeah. My word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. And so if I can talk the church out of the text and into the opinion, I can limit and remove the work of the Holy Spirit and move the church, by the way, through manipulation into psychology, social psychology. See, where did social psychology come from? Sociology was from Karl Marx. These were the Marxists in Europe. And psychology is Sigmund Freud. They merged Sigmund Freud and Karl Marx, who had one thing in common, and they're on the same page, but the one thing they have in common is, how can we get the thou shalt not out of the classroom? How can we get the thou shalt not out of the workplace? How can we get the thou shalt not, Hegel's negation of negation? How can we get the thou shalt not out of the courts? How can we get the thou shalt not out of the church?
And really, of
and
course,
it's worked.
And it really is an attack on Christianity. Dean, how can people get hold of you? Do you have a web page? And then I want you to put out the telephone number and how people, if they're interested in going to your program on Saturday of this weekend in the Milpitas area, how they can get in touch with the church over there.
Okay, you can write me, Dean Gocher, Box 233, Herndon, Kansas, 67739. Again, Dean Gocher, G-O-T-C-H-E-R, Box 233, Herndon, H-E-R-N-D-O-N, Kansas, 67739. Or you can email IAR, which are the letters for Institution for Authority Research, IAR, Dean Gocher, @yahoo.com. IAR, DEAN, GOTCHER, @yahoo.com. And the number, again, for the conference we're hosting in Milpitas is 408-262-4900. And I need to add this, that If you register at the door, we are asking $25 per family. But if that is a problem, it shouldn't be a problem. You know, as far as the material you're going to get, this is the best deal you're ever going to have. If you come and you can't pay, well, that's not going to bother me. Now, it might bother somebody else, but come find me and we'll work it out. But it's just simply to help, the speakers who are going to come, help get them there and get them home. So we do this, by the way, on faith, other than this little bit here. My wife and I speak all over the country. We don't charge. So if you're interested in even having a meeting in your home or in your church or in the community center, wherever you want to have it, come and share with your friends and family and even the leadership in the community. If they're usually they're not interested in hearing it because ignorance is bliss. But you can write or you can email us.
All right, fine. If you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Dean, give us a call at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY. Or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. There's a great apostasy spreading across America today. People are increasingly reading this wonderful new biblical translation called The Message. Well, it's not really a biblical translation. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but everything is aimed at confusing Christians as to what the Word of God is. Oh, well, we're going to improve on this. We've got all these translations. We can find a translation that will say whatever we want it to say. And so there really is no absolute. There is no Word of God. And if there are no absolutes and there is no true Word of God, then what will we base upon our faith upon? Well, as Dean says, how we feel, what we think, rather than what God has said. And, of course, that's exactly what they want, is to do away with the Word of God and give you total freedom. It's what you want to do, or, as Aleister Crowley had said so well, do what thou wilt. That is the whole of the law. Could this be what's sweeping across America today? Well, I'd like to suggest that well over 300,000 ministers and laymen have been trained in this technique, and they are spreading this across America today. And the average person even involved in this really doesn't understand what he's embraced, because it's successful. It brings in money. People are happy. People like the message. They don't want to go to church and come out feeling that they're sinners and that they need a Savior. They want to feel good about themselves. But is that really going to change their lives? Is that going to transform America? Dean, what are your thoughts?
Well, the whole thing again is we have abandoned the authority of God and His Word. We have moved into this paradigm that we are God, and the moment we start making the analysis and then the synthesis for the sake of synthesis, for the sake of approval of others, for the sake of relationship, which by the way is driven by what's going to happen to me. Just recently, the remembering of 9/11. There was one plane that a group of people said, it doesn't matter what happens to me. Right is right and wrong is wrong. No matter the consequence, here we go. We're going to do what's right. The other planes went into towers because everybody got in the back of the plane going, what's going to happen to me? And see, if we're not going to hold to truth, we're going to be saying, well, what's going to happen to me? What about me? It's not about you. See, it's about obeying God. If you want a purpose in life, it's to obey God. The purpose for Noah, the purpose of Abraham, wasn't analysis. They didn't sit around and do the analysis stuff that we're all brought into. They didn't go the I feel and I think. They obeyed God. God's word said, and they obeyed. The life of Christ was obedience. In the temptations, he didn't do an analysis. He simply said, Dad says, it is written. He spoke the text. See, and this is what the church is being talked out of. This is what the youth are being talked out of. They're not meditating on the Word of God because they haven't memorized the Word of God. They haven't applied the Word of God to their heart. They've gone into the theory analysis process.
But, of course, you can't memorize the Word of God when you got 15 different translations. And that's
right.
One very specific purpose. They know exactly what they're doing. They're not smarter than we are. In fact, I believe they have supernatural intelligence working behind them. And I think they know exactly what they're doing. They're destroying the Christian foundation of this once great Christian nation. And, of course, once that's destroyed, then the nation is destroyed.
Marx understood in Feuerbach Thesis number 4, he said, once you discover that the earthly family is the secret of the heavenly family, and what's the language of the earthly traditional family? Is and thou shalt not. That's a patriarchic home. And that structure needs to be in the child so that eventually he will understand a God who is patriarch in structure. He says, once you discover that, he said, the former, the earthly family, must be destroyed in theory and practice So what do we have in the church? We have the parents and the children separated. We get the children in a room and ask them how they feel and what they think, and it destroys the next generation's understanding of accountability to higher authority. It destroys the very language that God needs in the communication so that he can speak to them.
Well, we've got Bert calling from Ohio. It's almost out of time. Bert, you have a quick question?
Yes. Hi, how you doing? I was wondering if that the way the teachings of Scripture has changed from like the Marxist point of view or what you're talking about, is that like the Arminian point of view?
No, the whole.
Does that have anything to do with that, or is that the same thing?
No, that's a theological difference.
Right.
Well, thanks very much, Bert. We're out of time. God bless.
Right.
Appreciate your calling. Okay, fine. Well, Dean, thanks very much. I hope the meeting goes very well this weekend. Remember the number to call, 408-262-4900. That's 408-262-4900. If you're here in California, God bless you, Dean. I hope it goes real well for you.
Thank you, Stan.
The Anglo-American establishment gives you the documentation for Professor Quigley's allegation that there was a secret society created in England that ultimately came to dominate England and ultimately came to dominate the United States of America. The Anglo-American establishment will give you the books that you can read, written by men who were actually involved in the original secret society. Professor Quigley opens his book saying that most people have heard of the Rhodes Scholarships, and a few people have actually heard that Cecil Rhodes wrote a confession of faith, which was attached to his first five wills, talking about the formation of a secret society. But what almost no one in America realizes today is that that secret society was actually formed and still exists to this very day. The Anglo-American Establishment by Professor Quigley, Bill Clinton's mentor, is one of the most important books you'll ever read, and available by calling 1-800-5-HIV-WAR.
Well, this is Dr. Stan. This morning I did a program in Colorado with a Dr. Clark, and Dr. Clark has practiced medicine for 30 years. He's an emergency room family doctor, and of course he's given injections to all of his patients, and really believed in everything he heard at the medical meetings, everything he read in the medical journals, until his son was doing fine, a newborn son, and after he had his injections that I think a year and a half, suddenly became autistic. And it was about that time that in fact it was an influenza vaccine, Dr. Clark began to try to find out why his son had become autistic, began reading the literature, and there's so much literature there that shows that there are poisons that they've been putting in our vaccines, specifically mercury and aluminum, and they know that it has a disastrous effect on the brain, and they know it creates autism, and the CDC knows this, but they're concealing this information from the American people. And so he and his wife have come up and they're put up a website, a wonderful website called nomercury.org. That's nomercury.org. And you'll find links to all sorts of other websites. But you see, the trouble is there's so many people just sort of go along with the flow until it affects them. Well, you really need to get our four tape set on mercury intoxication and find out how they've damaged all between 1 in 5 and 1 in 6 children in this country, and they know what they've done. The tremendous increase in Alzheimer's disease related to mercury and aluminum, the tremendous increase in all sorts of mental problems related to fluoride. You need to get our four tape set on fluoride, our four tape set on mercury, our four tape set on aspartame and NutraSweet. Call us at 1-800-544-8927. Don't wait until it affects you or one of your loved ones. Well, this is Dr. Stan out here at Radio Liberty, and of course, this is the time when I have to remind you that Radio Liberty is primarily listener-supported, and we hope that many of you out there will give serious thought to joining the Radio Liberty family of supporters. And of course, we hope that you go to our website of RadioLiberty.com and listen to our programs there, directly or indirectly, 5 hours a day. Or, of course, you won't get anything accomplished if you do that, but we actually have people who do listen 5 hours a day because, well, they feel they get
something out if they must, if they're putting in that amount of time. One woman we talked to, she actually has wires going from her computer to a speaker in her kitchen so she can work in the kitchen and listen to the various programs. And we're flattered that people think that there's something worthwhile enough that they're willing to do that. But we would hope that at least you'd go to our website and tell other people about it. Tell them about the various items that we sell. And, of course, we sell the Berkey products. And if you were interested in getting into the Berkey products, you could buy them through us, the Big Berkey or Berkey Light. Well, you get a four-tape set or a video we produce as a bonus for getting them through us. And, of course, we have the Robinson Home Cool curriculum, the Sanzian radios, and other items which we think are important that will help you, as well as all sorts of books and videos and of course, four tape sets for your edification and education. So, apropos of what we were talking about today, we have a four tape set on the church growth movement. We have a four tape set on the apostate church. We have a four tape set on Satanism and deliverance, and a four tape set on Aleister Crowley, who, of course, is the major force behind it, so much of what's going on today. And if you doubt that, you need to get our video, They Sold Their Souls for Rock and Roll. Either the 4 or the 10-hour version, you'll hear Marilyn Manson singing about Aleister Crowley. You'll hear Ozzy Osbourne singing about Aleister Crowley. You'll see the pictures of Crowley on the Beatles' albums. You see, they understood all of this. They just didn't want you to understand it was all satanic. And that music is in our churches today. Why do you think it's there? Call us at 1-800-544-8927 and get our material. Get our video on the church growth movement. It's called Diaprax in the Church. Get our four-tape set on the church growth movement. It's called the church growth movement. Get our four-tape set on what's happening in the Catholic Church. It's called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. Understand that we're in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, and nobody's really seems to want to tell you that. Everything is good. Everything's getting better. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, it isn't true. We're going to lose this country unless there's a massive revival. And the only way there's going to be if you really understand the spiritual nature of the enemy that we face today, who's working with us every day through the media and is working with us, of course, in our schools, who's working with us in our churches. So understand that there is an effort to destroy Christianity because there is a conspiracy against God. If you doubt it, you need to see Carol Matriciana's wonderful video, The Gods of Entertainment. That's The Gods of Entertainment. And she actually interviews people from Hollywood who will tell you the purpose of Hollywood is not to make money. Is to destroy Christianity. So, remember our number. It's 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like a free copy of one of our newsletters, our August newsletter explains what's happening financially and what Alan Greenspan and Warren Buffett really believe, and not what you're getting from the controlled medium. And then, of course, we want to remind you about our all-day seminar we're going to be having here in the Monterey Bay area on November 6th. That's a Saturday, and we're bringing in outside speakers. And we think it's going to be a great day. Start early in the morning and go until evening. And, of course, there's going to be lunch is going to be served. We need, of course, to get you to sign up ahead of time so we know how many people are coming and we can have the lunches. And there'll be people from all across the country. What a wonderful time to meet other people who are concerned about what's going on. Again, that's November 6th, Saturday, November 6th at the Aptos Seascape Golf Course. Call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-455-8927. And make your reservation, bring your friends, get as many people as you can. We'll look forward to seeing you. And then, of course, pray for America. Pray for revival. Because if America doesn't turn back to God, why should God ever bless this country again? And finally, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection. Until tomorrow, may the Lord be with you.